Well, the rest of us can turn in our Bibles to the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi. And Malachi chapter 3 is where we're going to be this morning. Now, Malachi, I mean, obviously the last book of the Old Testament has some really powerful statements, about the nation of Israel. And we've recently talked about, identifying the fact that Pharisaicalism began before even the Pharisees showed up in the Gospels of, over there in the New Testament, and that mentality that was there. And we see a lot of condemnation for Israel about some things that they were doing and how they were basically completely disregarding God at the same time that they're sitting there spouting what they're doing for God. And, Paul points that out over there in the book of Romans, and he says, hey, they had a zeal for God, but not according to the knowledge of God. They were going about to establish their own righteousness, and they were disregarding God's righteousness. And that was the problem. But what we do find in the book of Malachi is some interesting things that he points out. And when you go through these Old Testament minor prophets, you find a lot of discussion about some tribulation, some judgment for Israel and those that have harmed Israel. We find that there's some things in there that deal with that great tribulation, as well as the millennial reign of Jesus Christ and his coming. In Malachi chapter 3, he begins to talk about some of these things. And I want to focus on one word in this passage, but I want to read through down to verse 5 in Malachi chapter 3. In verse 1, it says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow, the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the time that we have this morning, Lord, to just come and worship you. And I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be humble and receptive to you, what you have for us this morning. The Lord, as we look at this subject, that we would begin to realize exactly how much we can enjoy what you have given us. And Lord, again, I thank you for this, these people that are here this morning. And I pray, Lord, that, all that is said and done, by us would be pleasing and honoring in your sight. And that, Lord, we would just glorify who you are and praise you for all that you have done for us. And these things I ask and pray in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what we find here is we find that as that Malachi begins to talk about some things, and we obviously see the second coming of Jesus Christ being mentioned here. We see the establishment of what he's doing with purifying Israel. And then also at the same time, we see some of the things of the kingdom where he begins to talk about how things are going to work. All of these things that people focus on over there, if you will, in verse 5, that people try to make issues today and try to, quote unquote, fix today with economics or fix with politics and fix with government and fix with whatever they try to fix it with, all those things will be resolved when the Lord is on the throne. And you know, that's something that I really look forward to seeing. I really look forward to seeing what the Lord is going to do here on earth. There's a lot talked about his millennial reign. And I get excited about it. Those are things that I look at and I go, man, those, just understanding what God is going to do and how things are going to operate, man, that's going to be an impressive thing to see. How he deals with sin. How he deals with the problems. The curse on the earth being lifted at that time. You know, I mean, there's so much stuff in there that, that when we begin to realize what he's going to do, it's, I don't know, it just amazes me. But that's not the subject this morning. The subject this morning is what we do right here and right now. And it, when we look at what we're, he's, you know, what the Lord is doing in our lives right here, right now, I see that in the first part of this chapter, the Lord talks about sending a messenger. And I want you to notice something that he says about the messenger. He says in that verse 1, where he says, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. This morning I want to talk about our delight. What we delight in. When you start thinking about these things, about, you know, what that word delight means, we need to understand, you know, if you were looking at a very simple definition of the word, it's where you have that high degree of pleasure. It's where you, if you will, have this satisfaction of your mind. You know, even when you start looking at the etymology of the word and how the word had come about and all those things, it's basically that which gives us great enjoyment. And I'll tell you this, the Lord wants you to enjoy things in this life. Now, I'm not going to go old Joel Osteen on you or Kenneth Copeland and start preaching anything about, you know, being healthy, wealthy, and all that stuff, okay? But there are some things that the Lord wants us to enjoy in this life, that he wants us to delight in. And I dare say, it's not the physical stuff. And often in the case, we do enjoy the things that the Lord blesses us with. I mean, honestly, how many of us in here would enjoy a good, perfectly cooked rack of barbecue ribs? Oh, yeah. Wrapped with bacon. Gotta throw that in there for Chris. I mean, Chris would want bacon-wrapped bacon, flavored with bacon sauce dipped in bacon jam. But, I mean, the dude likes bacon, okay? He gets to enjoy bacon. I mean, some of us, you know, we would enjoy a perfectly smoked fillet of salmon. You know, with the right kind of sauce, a side of red potatoes, and you're sitting there going, you're doing it again. You're torturing us with this food. And I understand that. Well, we got potlucks, so just hang in there, man. Hang in there. We got hot dogs. Hot dogs and hamburgers, but you understand, you know, we get to enjoy some of those physical things, but there's something much more that we get to delight in this world. The messenger of God, the messenger of the covenant that Israel gets to delight in, and they get to hear what the Lord is going to do with them and how he's going to preserve them, how he's going to purge them, how he's going to help them, how he's going to accept their sacrifices, all these things that we find in here. But I'll tell you this, when you look at all of this in these first five verses, the one thing that kind of points out that I get to see with this is that there is a delight with what the messenger is saying, with the words that he's speaking, saying there is going to be in Israel, in the world, authority. You know what God wants us to delight in? Delight in the authority of God. You know, as part of what we believe, and if you will, our statement of faith, is that this book is the final authority. There is no other book that we're going to use as a final authority. We're not going to use the United States Constitution as our final authority. We're not going to use the tax laws of the IRS as our final authority. We're not going to use some other book that some other man wrote when they had a vision of something after they had a bad piece of pizza. We're not focusing on that. It's not about man, and it's not about who we are. It's about God and who He is. This book that is about His kingdom and who He is as King and who He is as Lord. All of these things point to the authority of who God is as the Creator of everything. And there He is giving a message of that covenant to Israel. I've given you a promise and I'm going to fulfill it. And that fulfillment is the authority of Christ ruling and reigning in the millennial reign. You know what they get to delight in? The authority of God. Israel has so long operated on their own authority. But let's not pick on Israel. Let's focus on us this morning. People are just rebels, aren't they? There's a speed limit. We treat it as suggested. There's laws about other things, and we kind of somewhat disregard certain ones and obey other ones and so on and so forth. There's things that are in Scripture that people will abide by, but then there's some that they just kind of like, well, you know, that's optional. You know, God doesn't really want us to do that. Yeah, He does. You know, they pick and choose. And then they insert a whole bunch of traditions of man in there, and this is the way things need to be done, and this is the only way that God's going to bless, and so on and so forth, and all those things. And I've been through all that. I've seen all that. I've heard all of that. But in the end, what I delight in my life is the fact that I know that there is an authority over me. And it's not the authority of the United States government, the authority of a police officer, the authority of my parents, for that matter, the authority of my boss at work. It's the authority of God, because it is overarching everything. We get to delight in that. This morning, I want you to turn over to the book of Psalms, and I want you to see some principles here. And if you're ever wondering about a subject or anything of that nature, I'll tell you this. There's right in the middle of your Bible, there is a good set of books that will really set you straight, that will truly get you to think about who God is and what He has done, and truly realize as the book of Psalms close, praise ye the Lord because of who He is and what He's done. And I'll tell you, it's impressive to see that. So you got these books, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. Man, those books right there, they really truly will help you in your Christian life. If you take those things and you begin to realize what the Lord is saying and what the Lord is doing about the millennial promises, about the messianic promises, about all of the things that we need in our day-to-day life, as Solomon says, the dark sayings in the book of Proverbs, as you dig and you dig and you dig, you find more and more wisdom in there. All of those things that we find about even Job in responding in tribulation and realizing who God is in light of everything and the circumstances he was going through. And even Solomon at the end of his days, realizing it is all about the Lord and concluding the entire book with that, about obeying God, about doing His will, about that being the whole duty of man. And we see something of that nature and we begin to realize how important all of that is in our day-to-day life. But in the book of Psalms, there are so many things, there are so many references. We're not going to have time to go through all of them, but to just point out and to highlight certain things that we see about how we get to delight in this life. And I tell you, sometimes people walk around, you know, they're not delighted in this life. They're not enjoying life. You walk around there, you know, and you look at their faces and they just look like they're miserable. Go to Walmart one day and do some people watching. Yeah. You know, there's the whole thing about the Walmart people, right? But you know what? But honestly, when you go out there and you're doing things in this life, I want you to see something. I want you to go and take a look at the people's faces. I want you to look at how they are doing things. I want you to look and see, are they really enjoying life? Man, some of those people walk around looking like they're going to kill somebody. Some of those people look like, you know, it's the end of the world. But here we are, saved, born again, children of God, and you know what we get to enjoy? We get to delight in the things of God. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. I mean, and this is how it starts off. I mean, we understand that first verse there where he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And we realize, hey, there's something that we're supposed to avoid. And it is this degradation that we see in verse 1. And if we really truly want to live a blessed life, if we want to live a life that is filled with the blessings that God gives us, I'll tell you this, it starts off with doing these things right here. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You know what? There's certain things to listen to, and there's certain things to avoid. There's certain voices we need to hear, and there's certain counsel that we need to just like, nope, not doing it. I'm avoiding it. I'm not going to stick with it. Don't go seeking counsel from the ungodly, by the way. Why? Because they're not going to give you godly counsel. And that's pretty self-evident in this. He says, you know, don't stand in the way of sinners, meaning that there's a path that they go on. Don't be caught in that path. Don't decide to get off the road that the Lord is leading you in. Don't forsake the old paths that he has set out before you in Scripture about his will and his way. Why? Because that's all found in Jesus Christ. Did he not say very specifically? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is that way, not the way of sinners. And again, sitting in the seat of the scornful, sitting in that seat, laughing at the things of God, disregarding the things of God, approaching it with unbelief, looking at it and going, God's really not going to do that when God has promised it. And here's this person that is to avoid these things. And he says, this person will be blessed, but there's the continuation of that in verse 2 where it says, but his delight, what he truly enjoys, what brings about that joy in his life, what truly, if you will, gives him that moment of happiness and that opportunity to just sit there and smile with what God has done. He says right there, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord. I want us to understand something this morning. You will not have enjoyment in this life. You will not have delight in this life if you are not submitted wholly to God. Everything. He is responsible for everything you have in your life right now. He has given you so much in this life. And when God says, don't do that, we sit there and go, why? I'm going to do it anyways. you will not enjoy life. We've all experienced it. We've all experienced it. Here's what happens. You do something that you know you shouldn't do. You know you shouldn't do it. I got a new book the other day and I'm reading it. And again, as I said, you know, I got about three paragraphs in and I already felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So I know it's going to be a good book. And it's an older book written by Oswald Chambers. And he's talking about the philosophy of sin. And he's talking about the oughts that we should do. We ought to do certain things. But it's when we think we don't need to do it is when we become most miserable in our life. And if you will, our psychology begins to alter itself, meaning the way that we think. And you know what winds up happening when we go to that sin and we're doing it? And we may seem to have some pleasure, as he says, for a season in that sin. But you know what happens after the sin? The stuff we don't like. The consequences. Now there are, you know, Galatians 6 makes it pretty clear about consequences, about reaping and sowing. And again, we need to make sure that we're reaping, or excuse me, sowing the right things so that we reap the right things. You do what is good, there will be those things that are blessings in your life. And again, I'm not talking about prosperity theory here. Let's just erase that whole thing, okay? I'm talking about enjoying the blessings of God. Like this morning, being able to just see how God works just with songs and the message that we heard in Sunday school. The connection that's there and just knowing and seeing God working in our lives. That above all is one of the best blessings you'll ever have, is when you see God doing something in your life, when you see the hand of God. That's better than having thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. You're like, well, I need thousands and thousands of dollars. No, you don't. You're like, well, I got some issues. Persevere. I'll tell you this. Look, even if we had thousands and thousands of dollars, we still wouldn't resolve the issue, would we? Even if we won the lotto and we were on millions of dollars, we'd just cause more trouble upon our lives. But what I want us to understand is this, is when we do those things that are right, there are consequences that are good. They're good. But what we don't like is when there's a consequence of what we did with sin and we want to avoid it. So what happens is we don't have a favorable viewpoint of the law of God. Man doesn't like laws. Well, how do we know that? Because we have things called jails and prisons. Those things are necessary in this life. Because there are people that refuse to obey the law of God. Because they don't delight in it. When I delight in the law of God, not only do I delight in hearing the law of God, but I also delight in doing the law of God. I delight in doing His will. And here this person is, this man, the blessed man, the man that has those blessings of God in his life, is the one that delights in the laws of God. He delights in them. Turn over to chapter 37 of the book of Psalms. Chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. And what do we see here? In verse 4. Now, I like verse 3. I'm going to read verse 3 because I like this one. Trust in the Lord. And do good. Man, God makes it so simple. Doesn't He? We're the ones that make it complex. Trust in the Lord. and do good. That's pretty simple. Trust in the Lord and do good. And thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. I mean, you know, again, consequences, right? Good consequences. But what does he say here in verse 4? He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, I'll tell you, people take that verse and they twist it. That whole prosperity crowd, man, they twist that thing 5 million ways, right? Oh man, you know, if you just delight in the Lord, he's going to give you that Lamborghini. And man, they came out with a new one, the remake of the Countach. Oh man, it's nice. Beautiful car. Well, if that's the desire of your heart, you need to check your heart. You need to check your heart. Because you know what your desire should be? Your desire should be what God desires. Your desires should be growing in Christ. Your desire should be seeing souls trust Christ as their Savior. Your desire should be to fellowship with the saints of God in worship and praise and in learning. There should be the right desires that are there. And those desires are fulfilled when we delight in the Lord. And that means delighting in everything about him. See, some people only want to delight in the love of God. But I'll tell you this, you cannot have a delight in the love of God if you don't understand what the love of God is. And you know what the love of God is? The love of God, he says, he chastens those whom he loves. Yes. Meaning, you know what? You're going to get corrected. You're going to get corrected. I've never had it happen. I've never seen a child do this. The child steals the cookie. Gets caught with the cookie in his mouth. Did you take a cookie? Cookie's in the mouth, right? You're like, you're lying. So not only you stole, but you lied. We gotta punish, right? Maybe there's the corporal punishment. Maybe there's the swats on the, you know, the backside there, just gentle, trying to teach the child, right? You know, trying to show there's consequences that occur, things of that nature. You're trying to do that, and, you know, they lose privileges, all of those things, okay? I get that. Have you ever had a child turn around and go, after it's all said and done, they've received their little swats, and they turn around and they go, with tears in their eyes, thank you for disciplining me. Thank you for those swats. Yes, they have brought tears to my eyes, but I understand you do it because you love me. Thank you. I love you, Daddy. I love you, Mommy. Has that ever happened to anybody? You would fall over dead if it did, right? We'd be sitting there going, what happened? There's been a change in my child. Praise God, you know. But when's the last time you really delighted in what the Lord is doing in your life, including the correction? Because if you're delighting in the Lord, you're delighting not only in the blessings that he gives you, but you're delighting in the correction. You're delighting in the salvation that he's given you. You're delighting in his will. You're delighting in the word of God. You're delighting in all the things that God is, who the Lord is. There's a delight. Take a look at another passage over there in chapter 40 of the book of Psalm. Psalm chapter 40. And I want to show this principle here. Psalm chapter 40, and in verse 8 here. You know what? This is a verse you should have memorized. I want you to take a look at that verse before we read it. I want you to read silently to yourself. And I want you to think about it. And I'm going to do something that's a little different here. I want us to read it all together. I want us to read this verse all together. Read it with me. Psalm chapter 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yes, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will. See, our delight in this life is not the physical things. Our delight isn't the fact that we get to enjoy some of the blessings that are out there. Our delight is found in the Lord. It is found in His Word. It is found in His authority. It is found in His law. And it is found in His will. And as I stated, you will not truly delight in life at all if you do not delight in doing what God tells us to do. Doing His will. And for us, it's such a hard thing because we want that instant gratification. But you know what? Delight is more than just an instant gratification. Delight is an attitude of heart. Delight is something that isn't just, as I said, you know, just some, you know, degree of pleasure or something of that. It's more than that. It's more than those things of just simple enjoyment. It is what a life truly looks like when we have surrendered fully to the Lord. When we have surrendered our heart. When we have surrendered our minds and our thought. When we've surrendered our words and our body solely to Him. There's a great delight. There's a delight that surpasses anything that this world will ever offer. There's a great delight. Turn over to Psalm chapter 112. Psalm chapter 112. Psalm 112. In verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. Let's be honest. We really don't like being told what to do, do we? We kind of bristle at that sometimes. I mean, on the job, if we're enjoying our job and we enjoy, you know, helping things and helping people. But sometimes we get told we have to do something that we don't want to do. What happens? Yeah. I don't want to do that. Yeah. Right? Drama ensues. But here is part of our praise that we should be giving to God is the fact that we get to delight in His commandments. You know, people sit there and say, well, thank God I'm not under the law. Yeah, you may not be under the law of Moses and you may not have to wear all of those things that they had to wear and do the things that they had to do in that regards. And I understand the moral principles of the laws and stuff and people try to disregard those too. But let's just focus on the one thing. You do realize that God said there is a law for the believer in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 through 2. How do you fulfill the law of Christ? Bear ye one another's burdens? And you can't bear one another's burdens without 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in charity. You can't do it without the love of God. And you can't do it without compassion. And you can't do it without Ephesians chapter 4. And you begin to realize there are a lot of commandments for the believer right now. There are a lot of things that God tells us we need to do. Now praise God, it's not for our salvation. That was taken care of upon the cross and with His resurrection. Amen to that. Praise God. But I will tell you this, there are some things that God wants you to do because He saved you, according to Ephesians 2:10, unto good works. His expectation of you is dual. And when God commands, we get a blessing when we delight in it. When we delight in it. And I will tell you this, delight doesn't look like this. Well, I guess I'm going to have to do that. Well, I guess I need to go to church. Well, I guess I should read my Bible. Oh man, my world's falling apart. Well, I guess maybe now a good time to start praying. You should have been praying a long time before that. But you understand, that's not delight. Delight is the fact when you understand that you get to go to the throne of God and bring your petitions and requests and make them known to Him, and He answers you. Sometimes it's yes and sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's wait. But I will tell you this, you know what the amazing thing is God, the creator of the universe, takes time to hear you and to listen to you and to answer you. There should be delight in that. There should be delight in the fact that when you open up the Word of God, that there's conviction and there's comfort. I'm studying for this message and I'm just sitting there going, man, how much God has given us and how much we get to delight in. Time is escaping us, but I will tell you this. Over in Psalm chapter 119, how many verses does he say he delights in the Word of God? Let's just read the one. Go over to Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119, and just start with the very first one. In verse 16, he says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Man, that one right there is just amazing to think about. We get to delight in the statutes of God, those statutes that are principal foundational elements of the Christian life, of the believer's life. That's what a statute is. It's firm. It is unmovable. It is meant to be there in a fixed place and not be compromised in any way. That's what a statute is all about. Unchangeable. And I will tell you this, when we look at it and we begin to delight in it, we realize that the statutes of God are in this book. Unchangeable. Like, well, people go out there and change it. Yeah, I know they go out there and change it. I know people twist it. But you know what? God has perfectly preserved it and continues to give it to us. I can still go buy it for $1.25 now at the Dollar Tree. That doesn't make any sense, but inflation, I guess. But you understand what I'm saying is you can even get it for free on your phone. You can have it read to you by your phone in that weird, creepy little voice. There's still things that you can do when you realize how important the Word of God is in delighting in that. And there's verse after verse after verse in Psalm 119 that talks about it. We get to delight in the authority of the Word of God. We get to delight in His Word and where it's found, His law, His statutes, who He is, because He is the Word of God. We get to delight in His will. But I'll tell you this, we get to delight in the surrender of our will. In the surrender of our will. I want you to turn to one final passage. Turn over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. Isaiah, chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. If you're a person that underlines, highlights, there's some certain phrases in here that you might want to do that with. If you're a person that sits there and is like, man, that's something I need to memorize. I need to memorize that verse. Memorize these. Isaiah chapter 58. I want you to see how he's responding to Israel here and their problems. In the very last two verses, he says, if thou shalt turn thy foot away from the Sabbath. Why? Because they had profaned it. It wasn't what God wanted it to be anymore. From doing thy pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, thou shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways. Here's where you need to underline this. Not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasures, nor speaking thine own words, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Think about that just for a moment. Here he is talking to Israel and he's saying, you know what? How about you just surrender and then you get to delight? And this is where we really truly need to be in our Christian life, thinking about this. They had taken the Sabbath and they had profaned it. It was all about them, wasn't it? The Sabbath wasn't worshiping God. The Sabbath wasn't about giving offerings to God, if you will, because they were delighting in him. No, they were delighting in it for their own selves. Making a show of it. Making a spectacle of it. Going about and showing all of these things, if you will, in a Pharisaical manner. And here he says, look, you know, you need to stop doing that. And then you can delight in the Sabbath. And here they are taking what God had given them, profaning it, doing their own pleasure in it, doing their own thing with it. And the end result is they no longer delighted in it. It became a have to. And instead of, I delight in it. There's a big difference between the two, isn't there? But the Lord points out, and specifically in this verse, I want you to notice, he points out to them and he says, look, not doing thine own ways. That's convicting in its own right, isn't it? God points out, how many times have we tried it our own? Without God. If you haven't tried it, don't. You definitely have the Lord involved in it. Because I'm sure anybody here will testify that has lived longer than 5 minutes. Doing it on your own doesn't work. It doesn't work. You might think it worked, but it just keeps coming back, doesn't it? There's such a blessing and such a delight when we realize I'm not doing it my own way. And as he says here, nor finding my own pleasure. The pleasure comes from God. That delight comes from him. Not the pleasure of sin for the season. Nor speaking thine own words. You know what we should delight in? We should delight in the fact that the word of God comes out of our mouth. Not what we think we have to say. But truly analyzing and looking at everything that we say and do. And asking, Lord, does that please you? Because I delight when you are pleased with what I say, God. I delight when my will is surrendered wholly to you, Lord. I delight when I'm no longer doing my own thing. I delight when I am fully surrendered to your will. And then he says right there, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord. It's a surrender. It's the giving up. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, when he's going over there and he's talking about that fight and that war that exists in the mind in the battlefield. And one of the things that he specifically says in verse 22 is he says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You know what that means? Spiritually, in his soul, what Paul really truly delights in, even though he's going through all that stuff, is what God tells him to do. Is what God instructs him to do. Paul delighted in the authority of God. He delighted in the word of God. And he delighted in that surrender to God. And I challenge you this morning, if you truly want to delight in life, if you truly want to walk around this life with that enjoyment of what God has given you, that delight is only going to be found in the Lord. It's only going to be found in His will, and it's only going to be found in His word. Are you delighting in life this morning? Or has this life just become drudgery? And you're just kind of slogging through one day after another, just trying to survive. That's not delight. That's not what we get to enjoy in this life. That delight is found in Him. Let's purpose to do that. Let's challenge ourselves to do that. And if you will, the biblical word, let's beseech ourselves to do those things wherein we delight in God. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the time that we have had here this morning. And Lord, above all of the delights that we get to enjoy in this life, the physical things, I pray, Lord, that we would just understand the true delight in our soul, the delight in the surrender, the delight in your authority, the delight in your word, the delight in who you are. And Lord, again, I just thank you for showing us this from your word this morning. And I pray, Lord, that we would live a life that is one of delight. That it wouldn't be just another day to just make it through, but would be a day that is blessed because we see you working in it. We see you working in our life. We see you using your word to mold us and shape us. We see your will and we do it. We see the yielding to the Holy Spirit that we need in our lives. Lord, I pray that we would not just drudge through this thing. That we would not just kind of slog on a day-to-day thing. But Lord, we would truly enjoy all that you have given to us in our soul, in our heart. With every head bowed and every eye closed, this morning I want to offer an invitation. An invitation is simply an opportunity to invite you to come and talk to individuals that can show you from the Word of God things that you need in your life. If you're here this morning and you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, I invite you to come do so. I invite you to receive that free gift He has lovingly prepared that gift for you. And he's just asking you to receive it this morning. Because we need it. Because without him, there's an eternal torment, an eternal punishment for the sin that we have committed. And that's what has separated us from God. And if you're here this morning and you have never done that in your life, don't assume just because you grew up in church that you're saved from that, that you have that salvation. Don't assume that, you know, because of some quote-unquote feeling. Make sure today, because we are not promised tomorrow. If you're here, I just invite you to come up. I'll have somebody take you and show you from the Word of God what it means to trust Christ as your Savior. But if you're here today, Christian, and maybe you really haven't had a lot of delight in your life, I'll tell you this, it's hard. It's really hard when you're going through it. And I'll testify to the fact that it is difficult. But every single day you get to delight in doing what God tells you to do and submitting to his authority and to his will. There's such a peace that comes, a contentment. And you begin to love each day that the Lord has given to you. Maybe you need to check that this morning. Whether you need to come and kneel at these steps, whether you need to do it in your seat, ask yourself, do I truly delight in the Lord? Get that resolved today. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for this time. And I pray, Lord, you just continue to use your Holy Spirit to guide, direct, and work in our hearts as we close with this hymn. And I ask and pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.